Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3. Chapter 21, Conversation between Manu and Kadarma, text number 55. Adharmascha samedheta. Keep in mind there's an H after the D, right? But not on the board. Adharmascha samedheta.
Adharmascha samedheta.
Lolo paer vyankushair nibhi. Shayane trai lokoyam.
Shayane trai lokoyam.
Shayane trai lokoyam.
Shayane trai lokoyam.
Dasyu grasto vinankshati.
Dasyu grasto vinankshati.
Adharmas cha samedheta.
Adharmas cha samedheta.
Lolo pair vyankushair nibhi. Shayane twai lokoyam.
Shayane twai lokoyam.
Dasyu grasto vinankshati.
Dasyu grasto vinankshati.
Adharmascha samedheta.
Adharmascha samedheta.
Lolo paer vyankushair nibhi.
Lolo paer vyankushair nibhi.
Shayane twai lokoyam. Dasyu grasto vinankshati.
Dasyu grasto vinankshati.
Adharmaha.
Adharmaha.
Unrighteousness.
Unrighteousness.
Cha.
And.
Samedheta.
Samedheta.
Would flourish.
Lolupai.
Simply hankering after money. Vyankushai, uncontrolled, nibhi, by men. Shayane twayi, when you lie down for rest. Lokaha, world.
I am.
This.
Yes.
Dasyu.
Dasyu,
by the miscreants.
Krastaha,
attacked. Vinankshati,
it will perish.
If you gave up all thought of the world's situation, unrighteousness would flourish. For men who hanker only after money would be unopposed. Such miscreants would attack and the world would perish. Purport. Because the scientific division of four varnas and four ashramas is now being extinguished, the entire world is being governed by unwanted men who have no training in religion, politics, or social order. And it is in a very deplorable condition. In the institution of four varnas and four ashramas, there are regular training principles for the different classes of men. Just as in the modern age, there is a necessity for engineers, medical practitioners, and electricians, and they are properly trained in different scientific institutions. Similarly, in former times, the higher social orders, namely the intelligent class, the Brahmanas, the ruling class, the Kshatriyas, and the mercantile class, the Vaishyas, were properly trained. Bhagavad Gita describes the duties of the Brahmana, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras. When there is no such training, one simply claims that because he is born in a Brahmin or Kshatriya family, he is therefore a Brahmana or a Kshatriya, even though he performs the duties of a Sudra. Such undue claims to being a higher caste man make the system of scientific social orders into a caste system, completely degrading the original system. Thus, society is now in chaos, and there is neither peace nor prosperity. It is clearly stated herein that unless there is the vigilance of a strong king, impious and unqualified men will claim a certain status in society, and that will make the social order perish. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Dhananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. So specifically here we're talking about the duty of the kings, the Kshatriyas, which is to protect religious principles, to protect the citizens, all of the citizens, not just a few of them, or a select group, but seeing everybody as part and parcel of Krishna, and that the perfection of our existence is to be connected to Krishna. Our life has a material purpose, but the higher principle of life is to be engaged in devotional service. So the role of the Kshatriya is to ensure that everybody's being engaged properly in the Lord's service. You know, he's like the head of the family, and the family head's responsibility is to see that all of the family members are properly engaged or properly behave properly. You know, there's an understanding of karma, something that's completely missing in today's society. That your actions will bring about reactions. As you sow, so you shall reap. And so therefore, it's expected of the it's expected for the progressive march of civilization of the social system, of social structures, to be properly engaged in the right kind of activities so that one will reap the benefits in the future. And so that means one has to have a proper understanding of how to behave. If you don't know how to behave, then you'll just create a disturbance. A disturbance, well, you'll be disturbed and you'll be a disturbance for everybody else. Right? Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidhim Bina Aikantiki Harer Bhakto Utpat Yaiva Kalpate. Utpat means disturbance. One who doesn't follow the guidelines which are given within the Shruti and the Smriti, in the Vedas. The Vedas are the manual by which we are meant to understand how to utilize the creation, the universe. The creation has a purpose and it should be used for its proper purpose. How to understand the purpose? Study the Vedas, Shruti and the Smriti, the Puranas, the Pancharatra, especially for the devotees. So this is how we know and understand, how we learn how to behave properly. Because we read the manual. Right? We read the manual. And the manual tells us we should, if we have inclinations towards the mode of goodness, then we should cultivate. Well, everybody should cultivate basically the mode of goodness. In reality, and depending on how prepared we are to surrender, then we're given different levels of participation, different rules. So for the sudras, not many rules, but still some rules. Basically, do what you're told. Do your job. Go to work. Vaishyas, more rules. Kshatriyas, even more rules. Brahmanas, even more regulated lifestyle. And of course, you know, in the modern age, people see these as being restrictive. But actually, they're the means by which, in the Bhagavad Gita, they're described as being the regulated principles of freedom. Because by following these guidelines, one is free from the tyranny of the mind and the senses. And so instead of being dictated to by the mind and the senses, do this, do that, got to have this, got to have that, one's able to control the mind and the senses, and instead of being pushed, one can become a controller. Vacho vegam, manasakroda vegam, jiva vegam, udurapasta vegam. I can control the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, the pushings of the tongue, the belly and the genitals. This is really what human life is all about, not serving the senses and being just a go-das. But one should become a Goswami, which means a controller of the senses. The Brahmanas are given the greatest respect because a Brahmana should be proficient in controlling his mind and senses. And how does he do that? Especially for the devotees, how do we do that? What is it? Kamana manasagira. Karmana manasagira. Karma means action. Manasa means what we think. Gira means what we speak. So we engage our actions, our thoughts, and our words in service to Krishna. Nikala svapyavastasu jivan mukta sa uchyate. If we can do that, then that's liberation, being engaged in devotional service, and that's sense control. That's Goswami. So, the degree to which a person can engage their mind and senses in the service of the Lord is the degree to which a person is identified as being advanced. And automatically then the brahminical qualities will manifest in that person's character. Samodamastapaso cham chanti rajivam eva cha jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma kama svabhava jam. So, sama, equanimity, samo tamas, sense control, right? The senses will be engaged. Not that we have to sit down in one place and, you know, hold tight. That's impossible in this day and age anyway, you know. To sit in one place, when we see it, you know, to sit in one place and chant Hare Krishna, it's not so easy. Right? Anybody notice that? We're always jiggling and moving around. Right? Samo damas tapa, austerity. It said that austerity is the wealth of the brahmanas. Suchi, clean. Everything, a brahmana keeps things clean. Prabhupada said that the Krishna consciousness movement would be known for its cleanliness, radical cleanliness, right? Always wearing clean clothes. External cleanliness, rising early, taking a bath, putting on fresh clothes, putting on a tilak. Tilak is part of internal cleanliness, in that we mark the body as if a temple, and within that temple we worship Krishna. So that's pure internal purity also. And so to prepare ourselves for a day of devotional service, we rise early and then chant Hare Krishna, so that internally our meditation is service to the Supreme Person. These are the actual qualities of a brahmana. Jnanam. So clean internally and externally, and learned. Vidya, or vidvan, is that right? What's vidvan? One who possesses knowledge, right? Vidvan, that's what we should be. Vidvan. And of course, the first thing that we should know is we're not the body. This is the first thing. That's purity, is to know that we're not the body. So you're not too worried about what happens to the body. I just started reading Yogeshwara Prabhu's book, Swami in a Strange Land. And the prologue, the beginning of the story, is his last meeting with Srila Prabhupada in Bhubaneswara in 1977. And Bhubaneswara temple in 1977 was in the middle of it wasn't a temple. There was nothing there. There was a mud brick hut with a thatched roof. And Prabhupada, he came into the room and offered, the sun hadn't risen. So it was, and he travelled all night to get to Bhubaneswar to speak to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was sitting in the room, in the hut, and he said to Yogeshwara, sometimes my disciples give me a palace to live in, and sometimes they give me a mud brick hut. Prabhupada said, words to the effect, I'm paraphrasing, you know, it doesn't matter. Wherever you go, the sensations are the same. Sensation is the same. So whether we live in a palace or whether we live in under a tree or whatever, it doesn't matter. We're not the body anyway. So there's that detachment. Prabhupada's very detached. So this is a symptom of learning, of understanding. Jnanam and Vijnanam, how to apply the knowledge practically so that it can be utilized, whatever we've got can be utilized in Krishna's service. This is Vijnanam, how to apply knowledge. I was reading last night also that a guru should know Brahman, right? We should know Brahman. And the first item of Brahman that we should know is Shabda Brahman, right? Which is what Shabda Brahman? Yes, but what does it refer to specifically? Mm-hmm. And how does that manifest? Before that. Shastra. Yeah, Shabda Brahman. It's the Shastra. We should be learned in the Shastra. Right? Jnanam. And so we can then dispel people's ignorance, right? Through a thorough understanding of the Shastra from the theoretical point of view. But then, a guru should also be familiar with the Param Brahman, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. That means he should know Krishna. Right? Vedaischa savairaham eva vedyo vedanta krid veda vid eva chaham. Krishna says the reason for studying the Vedas is what? To know him. Right? So we also need to know Krishna. Anybody here knows Krishna? Who knows Krishna? You know Krishna? Very good. You're just copycatting. Do you really know Krishna, Hayagriva? Yeah? Good. We know Krishna. We're just being humble. Or we're not sure if we know Krishna, or we're not sure who it is. So many things go wrong in life. We think, oh, is this Krishna or what? But of course it is Krishna. And to a degree, each of the devotees knows Krishna. But our depth of, you know, the depth of our relationship with Krishna will be a measure of how we can remove the ignorance from others. By knowing the Shastra and also knowing what our relationship with Krishna should be. What's the basis of our relationship with Krishna?
Chanting.
Right, okay. And what are we chanting for? Service. Yeah, our relationship with Krishna is through service. Right? If you want to have a relationship with somebody, how do you do it? Yeah, do something for them. Right? Don't ignore them. Can't expect to have a relationship with Krishna and ignore him. Right? And so he says, if you want a relationship with me, how do you do that? It was chanting, but we adore Guru Pad Asraya. It's explained in the Nectar of Devotion, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. First thing is to surrender to the Guru. In ISKCON, that means we surrender to Prabhupada. Everybody in ISKCON is a servant of Srila Prabhupada. First and foremost, he's the guru that we all follow. Huh? And of course, he says, Chan Hare Krishna. So, the degree to which we're adept at serving Krishna and in establishing our relationship with Krishna, and this is the duty of the brahmanas, and why our culture is actually a brahminical culture, although we may be, you know, doing so many different things. Administrating, washing pots, cleaning, this, that and the other thing, keeping the courtyard clean, cleaning the stairs, cleaning the theatre. Where's Rasa? Did she go back to the farm? She did a wonderful job of cleaning the theatre yesterday and all the chairs. Solcham is symptoms of a brahmana. Always keeping things clean. Huh? This is a symptom of, you know, we think, oh, that's a sudra's work. But actually, yes, it's a sudra's work maybe, but under the direction of the brahmanas. Keep the place clean. Same with the kshatriyas. Keep the place clean. If there's miscreants, clean them out. Right? That's what the kshatriyas... Previously, wars would be fought over who was the most righteous king. Who was the most effective at looking after the citizens and engaging them in devotional service. Right? And if the king wasn't engaging somebody in devotional service, poof, oh, get rid of him. Bring in the pious king. Right? Whereas now, as is mentioned here in this verse, right? Men who hanker only after money will be unopposed. In fact, what goes on now in the name of government is just wealthy men manipulating the politicians through money. Right? We've just discovered that everybody's corrupt. Right? The politicians are all sending their money offshore. The wealthy people are all sending their money offshore. The people who are earning millions and billions of dollars pay no tax, right? And we're going to give them a tax cut, right? We're going to give them a tax cut to stimulate the economy, right? Of course, we know that we give the business people a tax cut, and have a guess what? They keep the money for themselves. Right, they may employ more people, and that's how the government gets more money, by taxing the workers. But you know, the people that they really should be taxing, we've just found out, are the big corporations who are raking in billions of dollars, but then they send it overseas and they don't pay any tax. What's that called? Cheating. Yeah, of course, it's cheating. Huh? And the politicians, they say, we'll look after you, vote for me. Right, we're now heading into an election campaign. Right? And they're all going to be saying, vote for us and we'll look after you. But they're lying. They can't look after us because they're being manipulated by other powerful people with money. Huh? The banks are cheating. We just discovered the banks are cheating. We just discovered that even the religious institutions are cheating. So we're living in the Kali Yuga. Kali Dosha Nidhi Rajan. There's so many faults. Even amongst ourselves, there are faults. Amongst the devotees, there's so many faults. Still, our culture, the culture of Krishna consciousness, is to engage ourselves in such a way so that we can be purified. Apichetsu daracharo bhajate mamananyabak. Krishna says that even if a devotee has some faults, if they're engaged in the process of devotional service, then they'll gradually become purified because that's the path of perfection. Doesn't mean that just because we've taken up the path of perfection, we now become pure automatically. But no, gradually. Shanai, shanai, uparamed. Krishna mentions in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, gradually we'll become purified. Don't be surprised if there's some impurity or imperfection. Kaleya dosha nidhi rajam. But one good quality. Kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangha param brajet. We can achieve the highest destination by chanting Hare Krishna. That doesn't mean that just because we've started to chant Hare Krishna, then automatically we're purified. We're on the path of perfection. So this is the duty of the king. The duty of the king is to see that everybody is properly situated according to their vana and according to their ashrama on the path of perfection. Otherwise, if that's not being done, then the duskritina, the miscreants, the demons basically, will, and they're interested in, what are the demons interested in? Accumulating money. And we can see they're doing it. They're doing it. They're accumulating billions of dollars, paying no tax. Right? This is the evidence. And so therefore, adharma is everywhere. Right? Adharma bibhavat Krishna. What's the rest of that verse? Adharma bibhavat Krishna. Kula, is it? Striya? Vana Shankaraha? Unwanted progeny. And that's what we're seeing. And it's mentioned here, or no, it's in the previous. Unwanted men. What did Prabhupada say it here? He said, here, the entire world is being governed by unwanted men. Vana Shankara. Who have no training in religion, politics, or social order, and it is in a very deplorable condition. So there needs to be proper training. Prabhupada wanted ISKCON to establish a Varnashram college. Right? Each temple should be a place of training, where we teach people how to behave as brahmanas, as kshatriyas, as vaishyas, and as sudras, according to the descriptions that are given in the Bhagavad Gita. It's fairly clear how a brahmana should behave, how a kshatriya should behave, how a vaishya should behave, how a sudra. Now, overlaying all of that is devotional service. And that's the real panacea, that's the real cure for social ills and social problems. But that's applied understanding that there are four basic types of personality. That's understanding that. And also understanding the mixture of those things too, because, you know, in the Kali Yuga, because everything's so topsy-turvy, you don't find, or it's hard to find, a pure Brahmana or a pure Kshatriya or a pure Vaishya or a pure Sudra. Actually, you'll find plenty of worse than Sudras, purely worse than Sudra, right? That you can find plenty of. But everybody else is mixed up. But a basic understanding of these principles, of these qualifications, these qualities, can be used to effectively engage. Vanashrama Charavata. This is the whole Vishnu, what is it? Vishnu Rajate, something. The whole purpose of the Vanashram system is to engage people in devotional service for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu. That's what the Kshatriya's job is, to make sure that's all being done properly. At the moment, the Kshatriya's roles have been taken over by the Sudras or less. And so therefore we've got disaster, chaos. Right? So Prabhupada wanted, the Acharyas want us, basically, to model the right kind of behaviour as Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Sudras. Or at least, you know, we should know what those qualities or qualifications are and how they can be engaged in Krishna's service. And the degree to which we're able to do that will be the degree to which we can have an influence on society, so that we can encourage people to embrace activities that are going to help them make progress. Otherwise, in ignorance, they'll just be chasing what? Money. Women. Money. They'll be lolupaya. Simply hankering after money. Vyankushai. Uncontrolled ribby men. And when you take rest, then they'll attack. It's not mentioned in the translation, but it's in the word for word. Shayane twayi. When you lie down for rest, loka ayam dasyu krasta vinankshati. The miscreants will attack. When the king lies down to rest, then the miscreants will attack and try to exploit everybody. Huh? So therefore, you know, proper training, proper understanding of the roles of the different, you know, protection. Prabhupada says the Kshatriya's job, role, is to protect the people and property so that they can live peacefully and can pursue their spiritual, you know, there's that story of a Birahambir, the king in Bengal. Have you heard that story? He was a devotee, and he used to, in the mornings, go in disguise as a devotee, and he would go around the villages to see if they were up and chanting their rounds, right? Going to the morning program. This is the king's job. Jeev Jago, wake up, sleeping souls, right? Gora Chandabole, Lord Chaitanya is calling out. Wake up. Take advantage of the human form of life. Otherwise you're wasting time. Right? This is the plea of the devotees, of Lord Chaitanya. Why do you waste your time uselessly sleeping? Not that we don't sleep, but just, you know, don't sleep at the wrong time. Wake up. This is the Brahma Muhurta, the best time for making spiritual progress. That's why we're up early in the morning. Chanting. You know, so nice to be in the temple room these days because it, like I said to Savannah, Krishna came in to the temple room after, you know, about 20 past five, and there was nowhere to sit. Or I said to him, you want a seat, do you? He says, the situation in the temple room now is you can't put your back against anything, you're going to have to sit. So having an opportunity to sit with the devotees and chant japa, that's such a wonderful experience and such a wonderful opportunity. That's what everybody should be doing. So when the brahmanas are established and the kshatriyas are established and the kshatriyas can use their vigor, right? Shauryam, right? Strength, potency to go and push people around. That's what the kshatriya is supposed to do. It's his job, push people around. Because nobody likes it, but, you know, it's for their own good. Right? When the parents chastise their children, right? Do the children like it? Hey, Griva, do you like it when your dad tells you what to do? No. Who does he think he is? He's just my dad. Huh? I told you that story before about one of Satsarupa Maharaj's disciples was having a discussion with his spiritual master, and his son came in the room and jumped on his dad and kicked him. And Satsarupa Maharaj said to his the son of his disciple, "Don't kick the Vaishnavas." And his and the son said, "He's not a Vaishnava, he's my dad." So anyway, you know, we the kshatriya's job is to be like the father. And sometimes the father has to discipline. Now the discipline is meant for the benefit of the, this is the, just as a father has to discipline the son, for the benefit of the son. His discipline is not because he doesn't like his son, it's because he actually loves his son. And so the kshatriya has to have a love and affection for all of the citizens of the state. And of course, the show of love and affection is to engage someone in devotional service. If we really want to show our love and affection for somebody, then we facilitate them to serve Krishna, because that's everybody's relationship. Everybody's relationship is everybody's identity, and everybody's relationships are perfect when those when that identity is understood as us being a servant of Krishna, and that perfection of that identity is to actually do some devotional service. Prabhupada put a lot of emphasis on activity. You know, we were talking yesterday about, you know, we're so busy we don't get time to read the books. One trick is, mind you, if you're tired and you want to read, what do you do? Sleep. Sleep first. Don't try to read and sleep. That doesn't work. You know, the page will be swimming. No? So what do? Sleep. Then when you've woken up, read. Huh? Pretty straightforward. Pretty easy. But you know, Prabhupada says, if you're a servant, then you're the measure of your servitorship is in your service. Because part of our service is our sadhana. But our seva is also part of our sadhana. And that means we have to surrender. So teaching people how to serve, how to surrender, how to always remember Krishna, puts everybody in the proper position, in the proper. So, you know, the structure is the sudras should be working, the vaishyas should be doing their business, producing the vaishyas are the productive class, and the kshatriyas can tax. The kshatriyas can tax and order and structure things so that the taxes are distributed for the benefit of the citizens. Right? This is the whole idea of taxation. Taxation is meant for the benefit of the citizens, and so the kshatriya collects because he knows everything belongs ultimately to Krishna. And so a portion needs to be taken for Krishna's service. And part of that service is to look after citizens. So build roads, build bridges, build wells, you know, create public amenity, sewage systems, water systems. This is all meant to be provided for by the kshatriyas. If you leave it up to the vaishyas, what will they do? Huh? What will they do? Huh? Yeah, they'll keep it for themselves. Give us a tax break. We'll distribute the wealth to everybody. Forget about it. They don't do it. That's why the kshatriyas have to do it. And this is all done under the auspices of the brahmanas. This is the structure. This is the order. When it's done according to the proper order, then we'll have peace in society. Otherwise, at the moment, because the mercantile men have taken over and the sudras have taken over just for sense gratification, pursue money for sense gratification, right? Then we've got, as Prabhupada says, deplorable condition. But within our institution, within our society, it is our duty to study the Shastra, understand the principles, apply those principles, and then teach them to others. And ostensibly, or principally, we're here to train brahmanas or brahminical culture. The basis of our action or the basis of our activities is basically brahminical. But we can do anything effectively for Krishna's service. We can use anything in Krishna's service. And each one of us may not have fully brahminical qualities. It's very rare to find someone who is such a devotee. But that doesn't matter, actually. You know, just because we're not brahmanas by nature doesn't mean that we're lost. We use our talents in Krishna's service. That's the perfection. So we need strong kings. But in order to have strong kings, we also need strong brahmanas. Right? So that's why the emphasis for us is on brahminical culture and training people how to behave. And of course, that's going to be the most potent when we're on our best behaviour. Any comments or questions? Philip. Yes.
But what is the recommendation in Kali Yuga? Like, there's hardly anyone who can claim himself a really righteous person who can rule over the world. So what is the recommendation in Kali Yuga? Like, how to handle like an unrighteous government or unrighteous kings and rulers? Or
how?
Yeah.
One has to be extremely tolerant. And oftentimes one has to be very tolerant of oneself. and one's own disqualifications. And that's why it's recommended that we chant Hare Krishna. Because really, we are disqualified in so many ways, living in a very polluted and contaminated environment, and we're fallen. And by, you know, by chanting, we're begging Krishna, please engage me in your service. Right? And so that way then we develop some good qualities, or our natural good qualities become manifest as we're able to dissipate or, you know, dissolve the lower modes of material nature and gradually be elevated to the mode of goodness. So what's needed is good examples, and those good examples are going to come from the devotees. And that's what Prabhupada wanted us to do, was to set good examples. And even we may not be fully up to the mark, right? So we can't expect justice and support for devotional principles and devotional practices when we're living in societies that don't have an appreciation or don't value these things. But gradually, as we become more advanced, then people will take notice as we become more established and as the devotees increase and maintain our institution of devotional service, then leadership in society will take notice. But you know, we're starting from the most important point, and that's from ourselves. Right? That's the most important person that we should be dealing with, is ourselves, and gradually working on purifying our self, so that gradually we can then influence others. And so association, sadhu sangha, that's the important principle. It will give us the strength to tolerate the difficult circumstances and the difficult people that we have to deal with, and all of the other qualities of a devotee, titikshava karunika, tolerant and merciful to others. And we do that by giving good association. And that good association is chanting Hare Krishna, studying the scripture, engaging in devotional service, developing, you know, the good qualities. And even in that environment, the devotees may be attacked and discriminated against and criticized. But one has to tolerate it. Right? So you've got to tolerance is titikshava karunika. Is described by, coming up, Kapila Dev describes these qualities of a devotee: tolerance and mercy.
So, just final question. So, in Kali Yuga, it's not at all recommended because there's no qualified Kshatriya. If someone starts actually opposing someone and he starts ruling over someone, maybe even in terrible conditions, it's not at all recommended to start again fighting against him.
If you're going to fight with them, make sure that you can beat them.
But in general, it's not recommended to oppose a ruler when fighting. It's more likely recommended to come
In our position, yes. If we were strong kshatriyas,
yeah.
We had the money,
yeah.
We had the weapons,
yeah.
We'd go and beat them. Right?
Yeah.
Prabhupada said, Yogeshwar mentions this in the book, the beginning, he said, Prabhupada didn't encourage us to be peaceful. Right? You don't find anywhere in Prabhupada's books where Prabhupada says, you know, we just want to relax, take it easy, you know, be peaceful. He doesn't say that. He says, we want to defeat the demons. Bhagavad Gita, what's the Bhagavad Gita? You know, people think that devotees are all love and peace, right? But what are the two major epics of the Vaishnava culture around which a lot of our, you know, spiritual principles, spiritual practice are demonstrated, discussed, you know, manifest? What are they? Ramayana, yeah, the Mahabharata and the Ramayana. And what are the pinnacles of each of those histories, those stories? Lord Vishnu coming in, you know. Everybody in the Mahabharata, everybody on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, what happens to them? Except for about, I don't know, five people. What happens to them? Huh? Tapta Jivana. Duryodhana says to Dronacharya, Tapta Jivana, they've all come to lay down their lives for me. And Prabhupada says, and the Acharyas say, everybody's come here to die. Right? And that's what happens. We all come here to die, ultimately. So, if we had the influence, if we had the strength, then we should use it. And there's this quotation that I found the other day. Prabhupada says, "We can use it. You know, we can use technology. We can use." What are some of the examples? Prabhupada says, we can use the microphone. We can use the motor cars. We can use the aeroplanes. We can use the printing presses. We can use the transport systems. And then at the end, Prabhupada says, and the missiles. 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 Yeah. And I put this quote up on Facebook. And then one of the devotees said, Prabhu, can you explain the purport of missiles? Right. And I said, well, you know, we could, you know, if we had the influence and the power, we can use missiles to protect the righteous. There is such a thing as a righteous war. Right? Just because people say their warfare is righteous doesn't make it so. But there is such a thing as righteous war. Right? Another devotee made a comment, we can use missiles to fire books. We can use missiles to fire books at people. Huh? Well, we're not mature enough already for that kind of a situation. Right? But that's what Birahambir, the king, was doing. He was going around checking to see if the citizenry were chanting, were following religious principles or not. Right? So, in the right context, in the right time and place, Krishna said to Arjuna, fight. Right? And Arjuna fought. And he's the archetype, he's the prototype bhakta, you know? He's the example for all of us. He wanted to go and be peaceful and live in the forest. Prabhupada, peace, man, we don't want to fight. But Krishna said, no, fought. And Prabhupada says it was Krishna's plan that everybody be destroyed on that battle because they were demons. So whilst, you know, we want to be equipoised and pandita samadarshanaha, at the same time, when there's a proper order within society, we see in the pages of the Bhagavatam, we see examples where the brahmanas tell the kshatriyas to, and that can be engaged in Krishna's service. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I totally agree with it, but I'm just wondering, because now it's Kali.
What do we do now? Okay. Don't go around strutting your stuff too much. Unless you're a very powerful kshatriya. If you're a kshatriya and you don't have a kingdom, no money, no man, no weapons, keep your mouth shut. Until you do. Right? Same with us. We're not going to run around telling everybody, you know, here's what you should be doing when we can't even do it ourselves. When you're in a position of power, and so sauryam, you know, power. You've got the power. That's a kshatriya. Just like Prabhupada says, how can you tell a businessman? How can you tell who's a businessman? Huh? Ask him to show your money. Show us the money. If he hasn't got any money, he's not a businessman. We're looking for qualification. So if he says he's a kshatriya, but he doesn't have any money, doesn't have any manpower, doesn't have a kingdom, he's not a kshatriya. Huh? All right, we should finish here. Kandaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Gaura Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai.